Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was 22 and just started seminary, I began volunteering for what was then called the St. Paul Intervention Project. I was an on-call volunteer, which meant that when someone was arrested for domestic violence in St. Paul, I would go to the home of that person who had been assaulted and share information about the legal system and resources available to help her. As I did my training with a woman named Pat, I was appalled to hear about the prevalence of domestic violence in this country, the cycle of abuse, and the realities of the legal system. One day I was having lunch with Pat and I asked her, how can you do this work? It is so discouraging to see women hurt over and over again and abusers so rarely held accountable. She agreed that it is difficult, but she said, I grew up with this. I know what I know and I can't unknow it. So I need to act on what I know and do the work to help people and change the system. It's true, and now I can't unknow it either. I did volunteered and paid work with domestic violence survivors for more than a decade until I got up to my eyeballs in parenting and professional ministry, and I hope to go back to doing that work someday. We can't unsee what we've seen in person or on the news. We can't unknow what we know, although we can choose to live in denial or ignore what we know. And what we see happening in the world right now is hard to bear. Increasing violence between Israel and Palestine as shelling escalates in Gaza. Continuing war and nuclear threat in Ukraine. Mass shootings becoming a part of the new normal of life in the United States. One third of Pakistan underwater from catastrophic flooding and millions without shelter or basic necessities. It becomes difficult to take in. We may find ourselves alternately weeping when we hear the news and numbing out, just feeling exhausted, too tired and heartbroken to take it in anymore. In March, I came across a blog by Pastor John Pavlovitz that described this feeling. It's called You Should Be Weary Now, and it begins like this. You should be a little weary now. If you are, be grateful. That is a good thing. That weariness is confirmation that is working properly. It is your humanity responding to so much inhumanity around you. It is evidence of your goodness still fighting to feel useful. Your heavy fatigue is the internal alarm of empathy that will not allow you to proceed unaffected while so many grieve here, while war rages half a world away, while the planet burns, while there is so much brokenness in the place you call home. Maybe it doesn't change anything, but it makes me feel a little better, just naming the experience that many of us are sharing now. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus talks about counting the cost. Now, he is talking about the cost of discipleship, the attachments that need to be given up to truly follow Jesus. Luke expresses the urgency and importance of Jesus' mission by using exaggeration, saying that followers of Jesus must hate their family and even their lives and give up all their possessions. The reading invites a sermon about the need to follow Jesus with undivided loyalty and commitment, Many of our readings from the Gospel of Luke in these weeks of late summer and fall focus on that sense of single-minded devotion. But what came to my attention this week is a different way to understand counting the cost, which is to look at the cost of choosing compassion over complacency, choosing mercy over judgment, choosing love over indifference. It is easy and safe to look at people's suffering and tell ourselves why they are different than us, more at risk, maybe even deserving of what they experience. They just don't work as hard as we do. Their culture or family doesn't value the things we value. If they'd made better choices, they would not be in such a mess. Like the good religious people of Jesus' time who said, "Oh, those are sinners. We don't eat with them. Those Samaritans, we don't talk to them. They don't think like us." These attitudes allowed them and us to feel righteous and secure. But Jesus never put up with such divisions and judgments. Jesus looked past such labels and saw people. People who were hurting, who were isolated, who needed the compassion and healing that he offered. As followers of Jesus, we too are expected to see the faces and hear the voices of people who live at the margins. People who never did well in school because there wasn't enough food at home. People who have always known violence in their homes. People whose choices look bad to us, but for them are a matter of survival. Once we begin to follow Jesus and pay attention to the pain of the people around us, we begin to know the cost of compassion, which can be high. We can't unsee what we've seen, images of war and violence, people who are sick or lonely. And we can't unknow what we know, that Jesus calls us to love one another. It can begin to take a toll. It asks us to use our voices and resources, our time and our prayer for the sake of the suffering of others. Because we also begin to understand that as high as the cost of compassion is, the cost of indifference is higher. John Pavlovitz writes, "To not feel any of that would be the red flag. To not be brought to tears now and again would be far more worrisome. To not occasionally be leveled by the sheer volume of the burdens in your orbit would be a symptom of a far greater sickness. It would mean that, like far too many people around you, someone else's pain is no longer of consequence to you. It would mean you had learned how to anesthetize yourself from the suffering in your path, that you no longer feel emotionally tethered to other human beings. In days like these, when so many are in pain, and when so many people have chosen to not be changed by that fact, your heaviness is understandable and actually quite beautiful." Living as followers of Jesus is not easy. We are called to love, and love has a cost. Love calls us to share what we have with people who have less or nothing. Love calls us to give our time to help people who need our work and our voices. Sometimes love calls us to simply bear witness to truths we would rather not know, to understand things we've never understood, perhaps even to admit we were wrong. This summer, I've been reading a wonderful devotion book by Kate Bowler and Jess Ritchie. It's called Good Enough 40-ish devotions for a life of imperfection. I highly recommend this book, particularly for any of you who get frustrated by the cultural messages that say, you can have it all. Everything gets better and better. Because this book looks at life as it really is and shows us grace and mercy and compassion in the middle of that life. In one devotion, Kate Bowler talks about the months when she flew out every Wednesday morning, spent a whole day getting chemotherapy infusions, and then flew home late at night. After a while, she began to notice other people in the airport late in the night. People dragging their belongings around in luggage, hoping, I'm sure, they would look as if they'd stepped off a plane. There in the airport bathroom, the haggard mother washing her child's face in the sink. They were sleeping at the airport, trying to find the resources to get their children to school on time and face another day. Her devotion ends, as does each devotion in the book, with a blessing. Blessed are you who see it all now. The terrible, beautiful truth that our world, our lives are irreparably broken. And you can't unsee it. The hungry kid, the exhausted mom, the woman who wonders if any of this is worth it, the loneliness and despair. Blessed are you who glimpse reality and don't turn away. This kind of seeing comes at a steep cost, and it is a cost you may not have paid intentionally, but here you are, seeing things clearly. Blessed are you who have worked hard to keep your heart soft. You who live with courage, fixing what is within your reach, praying for what is not, and loving still. May you experience deeper capacity and glimpses of hope as you continue to see the world as it is, terrible, beautiful, fragile, beloved of God. Amen.